Morning, everyone. Excuse me while I just adjust my apparatus. Very nice to see you all. Thank you, one and all, for participating this morning and leading us in different ways. Just really blessed. Thoroughly enjoyed the presence of the Lord. And we were all very well behaved. Not even any humming this morning, I noticed. So, well done. I don't know what the restrictions are on humming, but I do occasionally. This morning, I just wanted to speak a little bit about Samson. I've been reading his story this week, and there's just so much in it, far more than we can cover in 20 minutes. But I just wanted to just pick out a few points from his life, things that I trust will be helpful to each of us. Really, it's just two sides of him, Samson's strength and Samson's weakness. His strength being in the spirit of the Lord, his weakness, his own desires and passions. So if you turn to Judges, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Judges. The story starts in chapter 13. I'm just going to touch on different verses. There's too much to read, really. But just right at the beginning of chapter 13, we read that the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And then God chooses a man, as he has done many times through scripture, or a woman in many cases. But this time it's Samson. Samson was a man from the family of the Danites, we're told. And God chose him to deliver Israel, down in verse 5, from the hand of the Philistines. And he had these three vows, which he kind of was a seal, if you like, or a sign of God's power and presence with him. And he was to keep these for the rest of his life. But the first thing I noticed about this is that he came from the tribe of Dan. And I don't know if you have kind of a preconceived idea of what Samson might have looked like. When you look at, you know, images or cartoons you've seen of him, he always looks like he could be Arnold Schwarzenegger or something, doesn't he? Just a massive, you know, muscular man. I don't see that in scripture. When I read through the story, I don't picture Samson as looking like the Incredible Hulk. I just see him as a normal man. I don't know how you see this, but this is just the way that I feel the Lord works. We've seen it many times through scripture, haven't we? Gideon, just a few chapters back, he was the least in his household, the least in his family. The same with David, the youngest. And then you can just move on through into the New Testament. You've got people like Peter and the disciples who weren't well-educated Pharisees. They were uneducated fishermen. And it just seems so often that the Lord uses the smaller, the weaker, the more insignificant people in the Bible to perform great things. And really, the Lord's in the habit, isn't he, of showing his strength through human weakness. And I just find that really, really encouraging. And I think it's just that there's just great hope for all of us in that we are not reliant on our physical capabilities, our personalities, our talents, attributes, whatever we may have. God is able to work however he wants in anyone, no matter where they are in life, what kind of, you know, physical makeup we have. And this is a great thing. The Lord is not restricted at all by any of these physical things. And I think there's a verse of scripture, if I just turn to it, First Corinthians chapter 1, which really kind of sums this up. Chapter 1, verse 27, he says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." And this is the key to all of it, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And really, this is the Lord's goal, isn't it? That no flesh should glory, that he should have the glory. And I just, it's not like he can't use people with great gifts, but it's, we recognize that any gift is from God. Any kind of thing that we have naturally is from the Lord. But he just loves to use the small, if you like, the insignificant. And it's great. It's wonderful, isn't it? It just gives every one of us hope. There is no one who the Lord will look on and say, "Well, I can't really use them." Of course, the only hindrance is our response to him and our own heart condition. But this is a great encouragement to all of us. And Samson's strength was really God's strength. And it's the same with us. Our ability and our strength to live a victorious life, a life that is useful to God, is because of his spirit in us, not down to our natural gifts. And this was the key to Samson's life. As long as he stayed true to his vows, he stayed true to the Lord, the Lord's strength was in him. And his gift was this supernatural strength that no other man had at that time. The Spirit came upon Samson, we're told. And as we look through I can't read all of it, it's just too long, but there's so many occasions through Samson's life where the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he was able to do these supernatural things. But you'll notice as you read through the story that the Spirit came and went. The Spirit was with him when he needed it. The great thing for us in this day and age is that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and is with us always in every situation and will not leave us. This is obviously the great difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament, isn't it? What a privileged people we are. The Spirit dwells in us. We're told that he will not leave us orphans. The Lord Jesus said that, "I will not leave you orphans," when he returned to the Father. But he sent the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the enabler. He who is able to see us through this life, he who is able to give us victory in every situation. So this was really Samson's strength. His strength was in the Lord. When he was right with the Lord, when he was keeping his vows, he was enabled and he was victorious over the Philistines many, many times. And God used him in a great way. But Samson had another side to him. He had a real weakness, a physical weakness. And that was his lust, his passion, particularly for Philistine women. And Samson really just didn't do himself any favors. When you read through the story, the amount of times that he followed his own desires, his own passions, instead of following what the Lord wanted him to do. It happened time and time again. I mean, the Lord was faithful to him. He used him greatly, even though he was wandering off on so many occasions. But he was quite often walking according to his own desires and not to the Lord. And there's a great verse. Paul says to the Romans, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." This is in relation to us. "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." And it was really that make no provision. And there's so much that we can do to keep ourselves faithful to the Lord and to to in his spirit to cooperate, if you like, be obedient. But I just love the way it's worded, make no provision. And this was Samson's problem. He was always making provision for his flesh. He was always making provision. He was always going to places that he shouldn't have been. He was always visiting people, seeing people that he shouldn't. And he was always kind of being led by his own desires, by his own passion. And this is the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. It's not like we can avoid every situation. We can't avoid every temptation. It's going to face us all the time. Constantly we're faced with temptation. But there's so much we can do to help ourselves to stay out of temptation. We know ourselves well, I think, don't we? And we know where our weak points are. We know that if we go to this certain place, it could open up difficulties for us. If we mix with these people over here, and we all kind of know, don't we? It's really just being sensitive to the leading of the Lord, to the Spirit, isn't it? And being led by Him. And Samson's really struggled with this. I'm just going to keep an eye on the time here. And really, it's these desires and these passions that led him to Delilah. And this is where the problem lies. If we move over into chapter 16, verse 4, I'm just going to read just a couple of verses. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. But Delilah, he was attracted to this woman. He was drawn to her, and she was really the instrument of his downfall. There's so much we can learn from Samson. Delilah was deceitful, cunning, cruel. We can read in verse 9 that the men were lying in wait. She didn't actually call the men in to Samson. She said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And immediately he broke the bowstrings. If she had called the men in, he would have seen what was going on. He would have known that these men were after him, and he would have just killed them. But she was cunning. She was deceitful. She knew exactly what she was doing. She didn't call them in right away. In Hebrews, we're warned about being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And it really is. I mean, Samson and Delilah, it was like they were playing a game. Samson was his conscience was being dulled. He was being drawn in. And Delilah was just playing this game with him, just seeking an entrance, trying to get in. And eventually she did. And as we go down, the next she tried this first attempt with the bowstrings, and then she tries a second time with ropes. Tried to tie him up with new ropes again, not telling the men to come in, but telling Samson that they had come in. He broke them again. She did it a third time, getting a little bit closer here to the truth. weaving his hair into the web of a loom. Again, he just broke free. And then we come to verse 15. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak like any other man." She'd worn him down, and he'd given in. He opened his heart, and he'd reached this point where he was just dull. His conscience was dull. And she took full advantage of it. And this is what sin does. We can get to a certain point and think, you know, we're okay. It's just this. But if we keep going down that road, keep allowing ourselves to become more dull, our consciences to be more dull, not focused, not in communion with the Lord, then we can easily get to this place where we find ourselves caught, and something has taken root in our hearts, and we can see the upshot of this, really, can't we? Delilah lulled him to sleep, and it just spoke to me of, I just remembered what the Lord Jesus said to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, where's the verse? "Why do you sleep? Why do you sleep? Rise and pray." And the answer to becoming sleepy and not sharp with the Lord is to pray, is to be in communion, is to stay focused on the Lord, and to stay close to Him. Whenever we're faced with temptation, which we will be, the best thing you can do is pray. "Lord, help me through this. This thing is bigger than I am," and it is. Sin is bigger than us, but we have the Spirit, we have the Lord Jesus, and it's good to keep the big picture in focus, isn't it? We can see sin in this world and all of its power and influence, but if we look at the big picture in the heavenly realm, the Lord Jesus has defeated sin. Sin is a defeated foe. It's still got its tentacles in this world. It's still kind of being outworked. But the result is the death sentence is on sin and death. And the Lord Jesus has a complete victory. And he has a life for us to live in that victory, where we're not bound by sin. We're not under the influence anymore. Our hearts are not, they don't have that bias towards sin anymore. They have a bias toward the Lord. And toward his righteousness. And the Lord is faithful. Let me just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 12, Paul says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And this is just a great, this is a great truth, isn't it? There is a possibility to get through temptation, no matter how strong, no matter how much of a giant it looks in front of us. There is a way out. The Lord has promised it. And it's good to stay focused. In reality, it's it's not an easy life. No one has ever said that the Christian life is an easy one. And I'll be the first to admit that there's been moments where I've failed miserably, and I've just lost that fellowship. I've allowed to get it to a point where I've lost fellowship with the Lord, and I've allowed something to take root, and it controls your heart, and it controls your actions and the way you live. But the Lord is faithful. He's come again to restore. And as we go down, let's look again at verse 20. Samson had reached this point. He'd been lulled to sleep. They'd cut his hair. He'd lost his strength, and he didn't realize the Lord. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. But he soon found out, because then they caught him, and he ended up as a grinder in the prison. This was one of the lowest forms of slavery. And he'd really just kind of allowed himself to reach this point, hadn't he? It was a slow process, it seemed, but he just let his guard down gradually over a period of time. And this is what it's like when you've got sin kind of controlling your heart. You feel like you're in prison. There's a heaviness, and there's no joy. You can't come together on a Sunday morning and really worship the Lord and just love Him and love people. There's just something there that's kind of, it's just eating away, gnawing away at you, and you can't be free. And this is where Samson was, found himself in a prison. But there is a way out. And John says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And if we look into verse 22, however, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Even in Samson's desperate place in the prison, the Lord's grace was there with him. And no matter where we find ourselves, I don't know where we are this morning. We're all, we trust there's joy and victory. But if there's anyone this morning who has found themselves in this place where something's just taken root and they can't find a way out, the Lord's grace is there. The Lord's grace is in that moment right now. And he is at work. Samson didn't realize it. He was just on the treadmill doing his thing round and round, and not, aware that he was bound in prison, but he was not aware that the Lord's grace was working in that situation. At some point he would have noticed probably his hair was growing, but at this point he didn't have strength. All it says is that his hair was growing. His strength hadn't returned. But then as we move into verse 28, this is his repentance, his moment. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my eyes. Maybe a better prayer for him would have been vengeance for the Lord, not just the fact that they took his eyes. But we know what his heart was. He was getting right with the Lord. He was in a place of repentance. Remember me. And wherever we are this morning, if you feel like you're in this place, it's just a moment. It's just a thought. It's a turning, a response to the Lord. Lord, remember me. I repent. Just a turning away. That's all the Lord requires from us. It's wonderfully simple, isn't it? It can seem very difficult at the time if you're in this place. But really it is just to turn to the Lord. And it's His grace. His grace will come. His forgiveness will come. And it's a great truth, isn't it? His grace is able to restore us. His blood is able to cleanse us, forgive us, bring us back to that place of fellowship. Whenever sin enters a heart, it always breaks that rich communion, that fellowship with the Lord, doesn't it? That ability to love and worship him. But it's just a turning, and the Lord can restore it all. And he did this with Samson. And in the presence of all of his enemies, he had a great victory. He died in the process, but he brought down all of the Lord's enemies with him. And great restoration. But an encouragement wherever we are this morning. Be alert, stay alert, stay awake, watch, be watchful, not to get drawn away down this side track towards sin, like Samson did. There's two sides to this story. If we can catch it early, it's great. It's a wonderful, like the Lord has given us a life of victory, a life of overcoming. If we do fail, if we do fall, if we do find that sin has taken root, there is a way out. Wonderful. Praise God. One last verse. Paul says to the Galatians, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And this is really just the simple truth. It's that the outworking of it is not always easy, is it? But we must walk in the flesh. And the Lord is faithful to keep us from all evil. Amen. Thank you.